our youth. This is their major fund drive for the year. Also, it's time for the church basketball league. All boys ages 7 to 12 are invited to play. There's information in the bulletin about that. So lots of great things going on in the life of the church. But today is Commitment Sunday. It's where we make our commitment for a year of ministry. If you do not have your pledge card or you need another one, if you'll raise your hand, the ushers will give you one. At the conclusion of the service, we'll have a hymn of commitment. We're going to bring them to the chancel rail and offer a special prayer over them. So a lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet one another. Standing and join with me in the call to worship. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
affirmation of faith this morning is on the first page of your bulletin. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Children out in the audience. I see a couple over here. I think I could get y'all to come down. Come on down. Okay, and I've got two up here. That's four. That's great. Okay, come up here and sit down. Can you come up with us too? Okay. All righty. Well, we got three then. All right. We're glad to have you guys here. Now, we're going to do something kind of unusual. And that is, I'm going to give each of you a piece of gum, and you just hold it and don't open it and don't chew it yet. But just think about it, look at it, and say, I'm going to ask you now, what do you think that gum is going to taste like? Anybody got an idea? What do you think your gum is going to taste like?
Strawberry.
Strawberry, that seems to be very popular. What might it taste like?
Bubblegum.
How about sweet? Okay, well, it might be sweet, might be juicy. Okay, this is kind of a silly idea, but what if everybody in the world had to have one piece of gum a day to stay alive? Is that kind of strange? And that you have one piece of gum left. And that people, that your best friend has lost his gum, and he wants to ask you, he's asking you for your gum. Would it be hard to give it to him?
I would give it to him.
Would it be hard?
I would give it to him.
Nice, very good. Okay, well, you know, a long time ago in Jesus' time, there was a very poor woman. There's a story about her in the Bible, and she went to church, and she didn't have much to give, but she gave what she could, and Jesus saw this, and he told his disciples, we need to think about this, and you need to tell everyone to try to give what they can cheerfully, and God will be pleased. So when we pray, think about that. Can you fold your hands with me and say, dear God, thank you for everything that you've given us, and help us to give cheerfully to our church. Very good. Now, here is your benefit for this. You get to take another piece of gum. And when you see somebody that you know, give that piece of gum to them with a smile. Will you do that for me? Okay, you can keep one for yourself. Thank you for coming up.
Praise the Lord, let songs of joy ring forth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all that you have given us and blessed us with. For the answered prayers this week. Some of us received good medical reports, and for that we offer to you our praise and thanksgiving. You've given us your guidance and your love, and we thank you for this time together. May your presence be real to each one of us. We lift up the other service, the celebration service. May your spirit and your joy fill them this morning as well. Help us to concentrate this morning and listen, really listen to hear your word. And in the silence of this time, hear our confession of those things that we've done, those things that we ought not to have done, and those things that we could or should have done in a different way to better reflect who you are in us. This morning we offer to you our commitment for the work of this year church. We're reminded that through our baptism you invite us to share the gift of our lives in service to others. Father, give us the courage and generosity to respond to your love and to your call. May our reasons for giving and sharing be grounded in biblical principles and in response to your blessings. May we joyfully give our time, our talent, our prayers, witness, and resources as we accept your challenge. Build the kingdom in our community and the world. Our prayer and our hope is that we bring the good news to those in need. For if not us, who? And if not here, where? And if not now, when? And dear God, we lift to you our prayer concerns and make your face to shine on those who are waiting for test results, those who are facing surgery this week, fighting illness, working at physical therapy, and other recoveries. Dear God, may your tender arms of mercy wrap around them and they feel your presence and your strength and your hope. As we leave this place today, be with us as we choose each day to show your presence in the world. All this we ask through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. As you register your attendance on the pads provided that the ushers will pick up at the conclusion of the offertory time, I want to remind you of two opportunities for us to be in mission today. One, of course, is the Fall Festival. If you'd like to assist and work with the children, come this afternoon, contact Laura at 4 o'clock, and she'll be glad to provide a place for you. The other one's at 16th in Louisiana, Quapaw United Methodist Church. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, Greg Stansel is our coordinator. We will be cooking and feeding the homeless. If you'd like to be a part of that mission, just show up at 16th in Louisiana at 1 o'clock. It's a wonderful outreach ministry. A lot of great things, as I've said, that go on in the life of the church. Ways that we can touch other lives and show the love of God through not only our gifts, but through our words, through our actions. Let us pray. Generous God, use us. Use our gifts of time, of talent, of resources to change people's lives. not only in this community, but around the world. We ask that you bless the giver, the gift, and those who receive them. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 399, Take My Life and Let It Be.
To say this morning that we still have 3 or 4 days of the pumpkin patch, and I know that it seems like it's been forever since we started. but we're almost home. And we still need some folks to help sign up just for the next part of early week to get through those last few days of this fundraiser for our youth missions for the next year. And we definitely appreciate everyone that has helped in every way in terms of helping unload the pumpkins or helping to be here to sell them or being encouraging or buying those pumpkins. We really appreciate that. This morning, our scripture verses come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Hear these words. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. "Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree." The story of Zacchaeus is one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. And I love this passage and this character. And within the Gospel of Luke, this story of Zacchaeus is very, very important. You see, Zacchaeus is the only rich man, the only man of means and of wealth that gets the approval of Jesus, that is let into the kingdom of God. There are passages in the Gospel of Luke that are not kind to the rich or those with excessive money, those who seek to keep it for themselves and not help others. There's the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, I have followed all the commandments. What is there left for me to do to enter eternal life?" And Jesus tells him, "Well, you must sell all you have and give that money to the poor, and then come and follow me." With a sad expression and turning away, the rich man leaves. And Jesus explains that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit eternal life. We learned that this man had so many possessions that had taken control of him. He was not able to relinquish everything he had for Jesus. And there's also the other story of a rich man that passes by, a man named Lazarus, who is poor, hungry, sitting on the ground with sores. Soon, these both die. And there's an illustration of the rich man being in hell and looking up and seeing Lazarus in heaven. No, the Gospel of Luke is not kind to the rich or those who don't have compassion for the poor. But aren't we thankful for Zacchaeus? He gives us that glimmer of hope, that way to the kingdom. We've all heard this story in different ways, most of us. Zacchaeus enters a town and there's a crowd gathering around Jesus. Because he can't see him, Zacchaeus approaches this sycamore tree and climbs it. Now, picture this in your mind. A chief tax collector, a man of wealth and means, climbs a tree. Men like that didn't do that. He's opening himself up to be demeaned. He's being vulnerable. He's not doing the proper thing. What he wants to do is he wants to see this Jesus he's heard about for so long. And we know the story goes that they eventually meet. Zacchaeus comes down from that tree and wants to bring him to his house. And when Zacchaeus meets Jesus, Zacchaeus gives half of his possessions to the poor and repays back four times what he has wronged people. Now, this is significant in two different ways. The first is this is the excessiveness of what Zacchaeus is doing. Because when it says that Zacchaeus is giving half of his possessions and repaying back four times as much as he has wronged, what it's saying is that Zacchaeus is actually given everything. The four times as much is to impress upon us that it's incalculable, because a tax collector in those days would manipulate and take from folks. And so this amount is so much, we assume Zacchaeus has given it all. It's also significant because with Zacchaeus repaying the debt four times as much, this is an act of repentance. It's an act of righting a wrong with the excessiveness. Zacchaeus is pouring himself out, opening himself up, and it speaks to us that Zacchaeus has chosen God, not money. Zacchaeus has made it clear that Christ is the one who is in charge of Zacchaeus' heart, not the money he has earned. You know, in our society today, money has incredible power. It's amazing to think how much our society depends upon money, the exchange of money. And it's incredible to think of all the ways money makes our world bad. Money creates divisions among people, arguments and war. Money is the root of judgments that come from different people. We struggle because, well, in a way, we need money. We need money to buy food, to have shelter, to take care of our loved ones, for clothes. But we have been manipulated in our society. And we have been told time and time again that we all need money, and that if we don't have money, we are nothing. But the gospel turns that upside down, doesn't it? The gospel teaches us that we should cling to God, not money. We all know the famous passage that Jesus says to us. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve what? God and money. It's as if the gospel is telling us money and God do not go together. You cannot have, you must have one. You cannot have both. You must pick and choose. I think about Black Friday. And I think about last Black Friday when actually they began the sales on Thanksgiving night. I don't know if you remembered that. And you know, part of the idea of Black Friday is nice, right? There's great sales, discounts. We can go in and buy things and give them to our loved ones and not have to devastate our bank account. But if we step back and, you know, look at the news channels, we look at the stores and what happens, hordes of people lining up for possessions. It's as if we've fallen in love with the feeling of giving, the feeling that we should give, instead of just the plain old desire to give because we want to. My brothers and sisters, it's not easy, this life mixed with God and money. If we want to see ourselves diminished, we examine John Wesley's take on money. If there is a seriousness scale for John Wesley, and one is serious, and 10 is frighteningly fearful, strongly serious, John Wesley is a 12. Says to us that in his own heart, when he would receive money, he would get rid of it as quickly as he could so it would not find its way into his heart, that would not take root and rob his relationship with God. In fact, John Wesley died with just enough money to pay the pallbearers who carried his casket to his grave. We feel diminished when we hear these words from John Wesley. Phil, well, what are we supposed to do? I want to say to us this morning that we trust God. Put our faith in God who loves us, cares for us, and knows that the reward is greater in following God than money could ever provide. There are countless examples of people who have risen to fame and they get swallowed up by the icon, the idol of money. The greed corrupts their heart. But we as Christians, we are called to put our full faith and trust in Jesus. I remember a pastor and professor of mine, Dr. John Farthing, once told me that he felt that clergy should take a 100-year vow of silence in talking about money. I know y'all are so happy. And he felt that way because for too long, there have been pastors and preachers that have manipulated folks into giving their money. There's the televangelist through the screen that says, sow your seed for the gospel, and you never know what else happens with it. Pastors have embezzled funds, and the whole idea of Dr. Farthing talking about that is that there is now a lack of trust. I had the fortune to be able to attend his church in Greenbrier, First Methodist in college. And I remember when he changed his mind on that. It was a vision to expand their building and create another building for a fellowship hall and contemporary service. And I remember the sermon he gave, which changed my perspective. He preached that this isn't about just giving money. This isn't about the pastor up here every year and telling the congregation, just give. It's about a community coming together to establish and give faith and strength to a vision of building the kingdom. I was there that Sunday when they began the commitment for it. And I remember the last hymn, people getting up and taking their cards with tears. Because the idea is that we band together. And it hurts when we give up our money. We feel unsafe. We don't feel secure. It opens us up. But if we do that together, as brothers and sisters, bound arm by arm, trusting one another, then it's a whole other story. It's about God now. And that's what this morning is about, Commitment Sunday. It's about us committing our lives for the next year for this church. The past year we have done wondrous things. We've done different missions in different places, and we are on a solid footing with our church. And now is our chance to soar and see where God will take us next. It's exciting to be part in the life of a church, because we get to do this together. We get to see the changes around us. We get to see people formed in their faith. So we bring forth our prayers, committing a whole new prayer life for the year. We commit our presence on a consistent basis to the church. Commit our gifts of money and talents, our service, and of course our witness. And we do that in the name of God. Christian means little Christ. That's what we are. We reflect Christ to one another, so that we can reflect that to the world. Zacchaeus got that reflection that day. May we all be striving and seeking to give more and to allow God to reign in our hearts with love and the joy of giving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we close with our final hymn, Here I Am, Lord, let us be standing, but it's also that time where we bring forward our stewardship packets and our commitment cards to be placed on the altar. If you want to come forward and do that with a time of prayer, we encourage that, and we are very thankful for all the ways that the members of this church have blessed the ministries here and the dreams we can fulfill together for the future. Let us be standing.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, over mountain, far and sea. I will bear the light of earth.
God's love is more powerful than money and wealth. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.